Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And Christmas is over. New Year's coming, and you're already thinking about your New Year's resolutions. I hope you are. I am sure some of you are thinking about weight loss, and we're going to go for it today. You don't have to really get down on it for another week, okay, but you're going to catch this a little early then. The truth about a topic I just love to do lectures on, because there's so much hype, there's so much baloney, and there's so much at stake. I mean, when you think about it, Americans especially can go through their whole life fat, and you don't like it, and what it costs you, But when you look for solutions, you're just absolutely buried in the multitude of perspectives, all of which swear by this is the way. And after you start to spin, things that you never hear about start to take over, and you're locked into false notions, hype, advertising, take this herb, it's going to work. And what we're overlooking, as always, is simple, basic truth right in front of our face. So let's go at it and see what we can come up with today. First of all, supplements, herbs that you're told are going to make you burn fat, forget it. This is a myth. I've got 25 years of listening to this, people producing the best herbs on the market. Herbs that in vitro, meaning in the test tube, in the chemistry of the herb, will burn fat, you can make a case for, definitely. But you have to understand, if you don't back up the herb with the fundamentals, you're not going to lose weight. And this is what Americans like to believe, that they can just drop a lot of that weight loss pill from African mango to whatnot, and it doesn't work. You've heard me on this topic before, the myth of just take the pill. It doesn't matter if it's a pharmaceutical, amphetamine to get your weight down, or if it's some herb that we've imported from some tropical island in the middle of the Pacific. What do you think about the herb and weight loss? What you think, and this is how it should be marketed, is that the herb will accelerate your weight loss, accelerate it if you do your job. So once again, I don't think it's inappropriate to remind you, there's a formula here. You do your job, the herb will do its job. You don't do your job, the herb doesn't do its job. You have to meet the standard of the herb. Those of you who have drank the Kool-Aid in the past and bought the herb because it's going to accelerate your weight gain, and after the 4 weeks is up and you've spent the $100, $200, $300, and you're sitting there going, gee, this is funny, I don't think I've lost a pound. You drank the Kool-Aid. Do not do that. There is a much better way to look at herbs. And if you have a company where you can at least trust what's in the capsule, which you certainly do, if you've been listening to this show, you know where to go. If you're fortunate enough to have a company where you can trust what's in the capsule, the addendum here, the way you have to augment your perspective is, you have to work for that herb. So whether you're doing rhodiola, or cordyceps, adaptogen, adrenal complex, whether you're doing deer antler, whatever you're taking to accelerate your fat burning capacities, you're working for the herb. That's the way you have to look at it. And if you don't meet the standard of the herb will not deliver. So let's get that one straight. The second one is this. Jack LaLanne said it best. And I'm going to post a picture of Jack LaLanne in the late 40s at Venice Beach. And it's Jack, who is a good 200 pounds of solid muscle, and about five or six other bodybuilders. Again, this is when you didn't do steroids. So this isn't the Arnold Schwarzenegger generation where you just pump up on drugs. This is no steroid. And when you look at the bodies on these guys, I mean, you just can't find them in the world anymore. Not in America. At any rate, he's in this picture on Venice Beach in the late 1940s. And the guy on the bottom of the heap is in a backbend, a gymnast backbend. And on top of his belly are five other men, all stacked up like a totem pole. And Jack LaLanne is the second from the top. I have 20 copies of these pictures. I'll post them to the website. And you got this one guy in a backbend on the bottom on Venice Beach, and he's holding up in totem pole fashion five other men. Think of that. And Jack LaLanne is the second from the top. So the guy on the bottom is holding up in the backbend position about 1,200 pounds of weight. And each guy is stacked on the shoulder of the guy above him. Unbelievable. And what did Jack LaLanne constantly say? Bottom line on weight loss. So this is rule number two on weight loss. Just count your calories. It's very simple. Eat less than you burn, or burn more than you eat. It's very, very simple. Weight Watchers, one of the most long-term, non-fad, right? Weight Watchers has been around years. It's not a fad. It's not a gimmick. And you can eat anything. You can lose weight eating pizza and drinking Coca-Cola. And this takes advantage of a certain assumption. Now, this is where it's tricky. The eat what you want, just count your calorie mentality will work for many of you. It assumes you have a balanced glandular system. And we're going to get into what that means. It assumes that you do not have a deranged metabolism. It assumes that you're not sick. So you got to understand where the disparities come from, and then the resultant confusion comes from with this whole weight loss thing, in that different strokes for different folks. You can't generalize, and we love to generalize, about things that are so important to us like weight loss. There's no one way to do anything. There's just understanding the basic chemistry of you, your individual code. So we want to clump this all together and give you the options. And as always, it's not just tell me what to do. As always, it's I want to learn about my body in relationship to this world so that I can code, I can synchronize my actions to the optimal me. Thus the emphasis on education. Let's keep going. So count your calories. Keep it in mind. Next thing, carbohydrates. I'll say it once, I'll say it 100 times. I said it from 20 years ago, I said it 15 years ago, I said it 10 years ago, I said it 5 years ago, I said it yesterday. The carb is going to die. It will die. Excuse me. It will die because of one simple fact. When you eat carbs, you tend to spike insulin. I don't care if it's a low glycemic carb. I don't care if it's rice and beans. I don't care what it is. Carbs, especially in O blood types. And again, you don't get locked into the dogma. O blood types, you mean eat right for your blood type? You mean that's what you're into? Oh, I'm not into that. This is nonsense. This is the way the plebeian world analyzes health. You're not going to do that. Not if you've been listening to this show. When D'Adamo threw out the thing about the O blood type, he had mistakes in that book left and right. Like all books, it turns to dogma. Dogma destroys the essences that should have been kept on your shelf forever. And one essence from D'Adamo's book was very simple. O bloods spike insulin way faster than A bloods. I kid you not, if you lined up all the O bloods in the world and all the A bloods in the world, and you ask them straightforward, how many of you lose weight eating animal protein and fat and not on carbs? The O bloods would scream. They'd say, that's me, that's me, that's exactly me. The Zone diet, the ketogenic diet from Weston Price, the Scarsdale diet, the Atkins diet, all the same diets effectively. Not that the guys that write these books are going to agree with that. The primal diet right now, it's a meat-fat diet. The paleo diet is a meat-fat diet. The Zone diet is a meat-fat diet. The Atkins diet is a meat-fat diet. The Scarsdale diet is a meat-fat diet. Simple marketing off of basic physiological principle. But not for Charlie, your neighbor. He says those diets don't work for him. Well, what Charlie, your neighbor, is telling you is that his genetic code is different, so he's going to have less of an effect. And one way you can distinguish between the two is the A blood and the O blood. The O blood has ridiculous insulin spikes to the carb. The A blood can withstand it, but this is what no one can withstand. And this is the point, if you really get into the beautiful science behind it. Whether you're an A blood, an O blood, a B blood, an AB blood, those are the four blood types. You're one of those four, or you're a Martian. Whether you're any one of those four blood types, if you stick a glucose meter into your body, if you go out and buy the AccuCheck and check your glucose when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, and 1 hour and then 2 hour after you eat your meals, and your blood sugar is spiking up at 150, 160, and it's staying there 2-3 hours, so that in a 12-hour waking cycle, so you get up at 6 a.m., you go to bed at 10 p.m., so a 16-hour wake cycle, half of that or three-quarters of that, your blood sugar is over 120. It's up at 140, 160, 180. I don't care what blood type you are not going to lose weight. If the A blood, if some people, A blood or not, can afford to lose weight on McDougald's book, The Carbohydrate Solution, don't really know what that guy's thinking, but if you can lose weight on a carb, I guarantee you, one, your glandular system is already balanced, and we'll get into that. You're not suffering from metabolic shutdowns, and I'll get into that. But more than anything, you're eating carbs and you're keeping your blood sugar, even with the carb, under 100 or under 110 all day long. Can some people do that? The answer is yes. Yes. I had a friend of mine, a very famous Olympic wrestler. He was in his 50s. We were eating breakfast one morning and I was doing my steak and egg routine, very rare charred steak and poached eggs. And I love that. It makes me feel great. I usually do that on a Saturday morning. I broadcast the show. And he's sitting there with this enormous plate of oatmeal, this huge bowl of oatmeal with honey. And I look at him and I go, you know what? And, you know, the guy had this stare. He was one of these 54-year-old athletes. He had this funny look in his eyes all the time, like he was always staring out into space. And I saw the way he ate it, and I was totally convinced that this was simply because this guy was in carb heaven, and his blood sugar was up at 300, and he was just basically in a coma all the time. And so I said to him, his name was not Joe, but I said, Joe, I got to check your insulin. I want to check your blood sugar. So he consumes these two huge bowls of oatmeal, and I check his blood sugar, and it's 80. 1 hour later, his blood sugar is 80. An hour and a half later, his blood sugar is 80. 2 hours later, his blood sugar is 80. Now, I do this regularly. This is a thing for me, checking people's blood sugar, getting people to check their own blood sugar, because that's where the rubber meets the road. If you get up in the morning and you have a six-pack of Coca-Cola and your blood sugar is 80, half an hour after you consume 60 ounces, one of those giant Slurpees, well, guess what? You're not going to gain weight. And some people have either the genetics to do this or the level of strength to do this that they're going to lose someday, perhaps, but that in that juncture in their life, and you can be as old as 40, 50, 60 years old, you may stabilize your blood sugar eating a lot of that slop. And you know what? You're going to be the guy that does whatever you want, and as long as you count your calories, you'll drop weight. This is the way we were when we were in our teens. In our teens, we lost weight no matter what we did. We ate whatever we wanted. And what was the reason? Well, if you take a teenager and you measure their blood sugar as they're going through their Winchell donuts, Coca-Cola, their pizza, and their Coke, you know, your average teenage kid in America is consuming massive quantities of this, and you measure their blood sugar, they have enough insulin reserve to keep the blood sugar stable. The kid that doesn't is born in a way where he can't stabilize his blood sugar even when he's 16 or 18 or 20. So it really comes down to blood sugar. The thing about the carb is that for a lot of people, the carb will spike the blood sugar. But if that's not you, count your calories. If that's not you, you can go up there to San Francisco with Dr. McDougall and run around screaming about animals and how we shouldn't kill animals and have a ball with that. But I'll guarantee you, on your carb diet, your blood sugar will stabilize. So get that one straight and find out who you are. All right. Now, the workout. We're going to start working out, aren't we? We've got to move for a million reasons. Some of us don't have to move our bodies to lose weight, and some of us must. That's me. When I was 16 years old, if I didn't exercise, I'd gain weight. When I was 20, if I didn't exercise, I'd gain weight. When I got into my middle age, the problem was finding the time to exercise or I would gain weight. And to this day, if I exercise, weight drops. If I don't, I don't care what I do. I'll put on weight. It doesn't matter. For some of us, not all of us, but for some of us, and this is so coded into your constitution, it is so coded into your genes, our future will be about finding out what exercise codes for in the genes. And I harp on this all the time with people. I try to get people of sufficient income to go and take $2,000-$4,000 a year and put it into a health club. That's right. Not that thing at Bally's for $16 a month. $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. For me, Equinox, which is a pretty upscale health club, is low end. The New York Athletic Club. Los Angeles isn't as good, but the New York Athletic Club in Manhattan, there's a club. And we've got these in Los Angeles. LA does, the Los Angeles Downtown Athletic Club does a decent job. But the concept here is this. For some of us, exercise is so critical that, and you know it is for you. It brings you to the next issue, which is how do you exercise in such an insanely busy world? And how do you exercise when, well, let's face it, in the morning, you don't feel like it sometimes, and at the end of the day, you're exhausted. At the end of the day, you just want the comfort of coming home, plopping in front of a TV set, being with your loved ones, and stuffing your face. How do you get around that? If you can do this, do it. Remember, I told you. By the way, if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. The theme of the show, if you're new to the show, is get on my website at straighttalk.cc and take now, what is it, 84 shows. Happy New Year to me and you. 84 hours of Straight Talk across four educations, a ton of clinical experience. I mean, just I've been so blessed to have treated, to have seen so many types of problems with so many types of people, and then getting in there, rolling up my sleeves and getting down on the case, the hardcore stuff. And I've been brought to realizations, and one of them is we are being marketed too much in the healthcare holistic industry. I said the holistic industry. I'm not talking about medical doctors. I'm not talking about allopaths. I'm talking about holistic practitioners, holistic paradigms that are just upsell. And the problem with it, the real problem with the upsell of it, is that it hides the true value of it. Herbs are fantastic. If you call me up and say, Medici, you sounded like you were against herbs, please pull the wax out of your ears. Please. Herbs are fantastic. Holistic medicine is a blessing. But you've got to reach a little bit deeper into your educational resources so you understand how to spend your money on herbs, how to spend your money on exercise machines, how to spend your money on health clubs. It just means America across the board is going to have to give a bigger place on your shelf, on the time in your day, a bigger berth to what you have to do to learn about your body. Done. That's it. Or you're not going to make the grade. If 2013 and the next 10 years in this country will mean anything, it's that you're going to have to reassess where you put your time, your money, and your energy. And I hope you're making a bigger space in terms of health. With the healthcare system we have coming, you know as well as I do, your future is bleak if you don't learn this kind of stuff. So get on the website, straighttalk.cc. Let's keep going. This thing about exercise. If your glandular system is where it's supposed to be, you can probably just lose weight counting calories, eating carbs, doing whatever you want. But if your glandular system is not where it's supposed to be, if somehow the balance in your metabolic system is very tied into exercise, you got to find the time. So back to my first point. The most important thing you can do this year, 2013, is take the money that you were going to go on vacation with, take the money that you were going to buy that extra special car with, take the money that you were going to buy that mink coat with, take that money you were going to buy that $6,000 watch with, and throw it into a really high-end spa that includes the outdoors, the great outdoors, and then jump into the exercise wagon. Get up in the morning and move your body. And guess what I have for you? Good news, because that's when you're supposed to eat your carb. If you've got this thing about that toast and butter, that cup of coffee, that whatever little sin you're participating in, don't worry about it. Not if you're going to get up and exercise. Don't worry about it, because your body can handle that. You're going to burn that off so fast, your insulin spike will mean next to nothing. Just eat enough of that morning infraction. Eat enough of it so that you don't get the dip mid-workout. So you can start that way if you're exercising. If you're not exercising and you are a what? Count the calorie type because you're healthy? Don't worry about it. Just count your calories. But if you're the kind of person that really is not metabolically healthy, if really you find it difficult to lose weight, much more difficult than when you were a kid or a teenager in your 20s or before your children, you're getting into something else. And this is, if you don't exercise, you got to be careful with that carb breakfast. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to talk about right now the person that gets out and spends the 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes moving their body. Carbs for breakfast, you can slide. Here's the trick to you exercise guys. The trick is, by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning, you ate enough carb to get through your workout and a little more. But then by 10, 11 o'clock, you're starting to feel hungry. You're starting to feel your blood sugar drop. You're at work, but you can handle it. You're not getting so hypoglycemic that the game is over. You're not getting blurry in the head. You're not at the office meeting. You're not driving the truck or the car or the bus, or you're not working at the computer and falling asleep. You're stabilizing your blood sugar off a light carb breakfast, a good workout to work. 2 hours later, you're in the zone. Perfect. You must do this. By the time, midday, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, your blood sugar's dropped enough to where you're hungry, this is when you have to bring in the animal protein. the animal protein and the fat. This is where you have to have your big meal. This is where you have to spend a little more money in the restaurant. This is where you needed to have prepared that box lunch. And that, forget the salad. Don't do your salad here. Do not do a cold salad, especially when it's cold out. Do the animal protein, the chicken, the fish, the beef, I don't care, rare, raw, well done. Just get it into your body and eat and eat and eat all the animal protein you want and back it up with some raw fat. Avocados, olives, coconuts, nuts, seeds, this sort of a thing. Do it then, the meat and the fat, and eat lots of it, and wait until you just know you need to get that into your body. Time it to your lunch. If you're at lunch from 12 to 1, make sure by the time 12 comes in, or 1 to 2, or 11:30 to 12:30, make sure that you organized your morning so that just like clockwork, around lunchtime, you're starting to dip, and then get in there and munch. In 2 hours, in 1 hour, in a half an hour after that meal, if you do what I just suggested, I guarantee you your blood sugar will still be under 100. I'll also guarantee you, at most, you'll just have a little twinge inside for something sweet. And you can put 10 or 15 calories of sugar into your body. You can have a candy kiss. You can have a gumdrop. You can have a little piece of chocolate. Do whatever you want. Keep it to about 20 calories. Make sure you've taken yourself to satiety on the meat and the fat. And that'll take you to 3, 4 o'clock. That's when, at about 3, 4 o'clock, you drop the herbs in. That's when you put those fat burners in. That's when you put the cordyceps in, the rhodiola. That's when you put in the reishi. That's when you put in the deer antler. That's where you put in the adaptogenic herb. Gee, you know, after 84 shows, it's getting to the point, isn't it, where I can't do a show without referring to 20 other shows. Nor can I basically say, well, go refer to this show and that show and the other show, or I'll spend the whole hour telling you what other shows to go to. That's a concept. And that's the point. If you've been listening to this show regularly, as I see hundreds of you do at this point, you're starting to realize you are getting an education. I see people on these sites all week long. Mary's on the site. Then Mary's on the site again. Then Mary's on the site again. This educational forum has worked. And I'm celebrating that in 2013 in huge ways. I promise you there are huge changes coming as far as my capacity to get to you the educations you need. And this is a classic example of it. So we're here and we're talking about the adaptogenic herb at about 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon after you had the meat fat lunch. That's when you bring it in. Now, why about then? Because that's when your glandular system is going to take its dip. That's when you want to spend your money on the herb. You want to take 8, 10, 12, 14 deer antler. You want to take 20 adrenal complex. You want to take 6, 8 adaptogen. You want to hit yourself with your favorite combination of herb. And how do you know what to take? And how do you know how much to take? And how do you know whatever? You listen to your body, what you want. If you listen to your body in the afternoon at about 3, 4 o'clock, when you start to feel like, well, you're just running out of steam, which is when your blood sugar might be starting to drop again. Might, I said. When it might be starting to drop again, what you want is something to give you that feeling like you're back on track, like you got that little energy boost. Not a cup of coffee, but God's divine plant medicine. That's when you want to bring in at a dose that makes you feel like, you know what, it's 5 o'clock now, I feel like working out. And if you can't get there with what I just said, there are other problems. If you can't get up, down a little carb, go out, work out, keep off the food until 11:30, 12:30, eat a lot of animal protein and fat, and then by 4 o'clock, use an adaptogenic herb at a dose to critical mass to bring you into 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night and leaving you the energy to work out, we have more fundamental issues. And those fundamental issues, we're going to get to in a second. But dinner. I can't leave out dinner. This is where you got to use a little bit of discipline. Sometimes you got to be disciplined. We try to minimize the need for that. But in the evening, this is when you have to go to the vegetables and the salads. Because they're important. Because they're filled with all the good things they're supposed to be filled in. So you either do a liquid dinner, like a soup, like juice, or you go to the power salad. The power salad is when you put in all the greens and different colored vegetables and pick the ones you love. And then you make it a power salad by throwing in a little raw cheese, a little raw cheese and avocado, a little raw cheese, avocado, and nuts, a nut sauce. You take all the nuts like the cashews, you dump them in the Vitamix, you add some tomatoes, some olive oil, you blend it up, and you make a nice creamy little nut sauce. You can take macadamia and avocado. You can take cashew, tomato, and olive oil. You can take sunflowers. Sunflowers make sunflower seed cheeses. You can take pine nuts. There's so many ways to beef up a salad with fruit, nuts, seeds, berries, avocados, olives, coconuts, egg yolk, the white of the egg. There's so many ways to do it mixed with vegetables. Power salad at dinner. Gonna leave you a little bit hanging there. Gonna leave you feeling like, well, I just gotta quite get something into me. And that's where you have to use a little bit of discipline. And discipline can include a little piece of chocolate. Again, keep the blood sugar under 100. Keep it under 100. If you can keep the blood sugar under 100 all day long, which is not hard to do, if you can keep the blood sugar under 100 all day long, and you can count your calories, you're set. That's the end of the problem, the end of the myth. The problem begins when you don't keep the blood sugar there because you can't. The problem begins when your glandular system does not allow you to count the calories. And that's the woman, I'm going to use the stereotype of this, that's had two or three kids, and she's 40 years old or 45 years old or 50 years old, or the guy that remembers the good old days when he could drink a six-pack of beer, eat a steak, go out and burn off 40, 50, 60 pounds just when he went back to training, back on the track team, back on the baseball team, back on the football team, just back to working out because there was too much of a pot belly, and all of a sudden that stuff would burn off, and he didn't have to think about anything. He could do it on McDonald's and Burger King and pizza. It didn't matter. And now you're in your middle ages, and no matter what you do, you might eat 1,000 calories a day, and you don't lose any weight. Let's get to that. What is that about? This is when Jack LaLanne doesn't work. This is when those diets don't work, from the Zone diet to the Scarsdale diet to the Paleo diet to McDougal's carbohydrate solution to all the advice in the China study. Everyone's perspectives fail you. There's something deeper. First thing you have to look at. First thing you have to understand, really, is metabolism. Now, what do we mean? We mean that when somebody can't lose weight no matter what they do, their bodies have tanked, meaning they have become exhausted in their body. It means they're not supposed to be losing weight. It means they're keeping fat on their body to protect themselves. It means if it doesn't work, after you've given the round robin to a bunch of reasonable approaches that work for tons of people but not you, it means you shouldn't be losing weight. You gotta let that one sink in. I know it hurts. I know it hurts to have two kids, three kids, four kids, five kids, six kids, to be 50 years old, to be in your own mind losing your looks, even though that's not true. You're more beautiful. But if you think that's you, and you definitely can't lose weight, and you're hitting middle age, and you've tried it, male or female, get this through your heads. Your body is telling you you're not supposed to be losing weight. Your friends may be telling you. Your significant other may be telling you. The whole culture of America may be telling you. But what do they know about you? And you need to understand that your body's putting fat there for a reason. It's putting fat there because it's storing something you need. And one of the things that the body uses to store hormone is fat. That's right. That's what the love handle is. That little pad of fat and a lot of extra fat that doesn't come off, the body's up to something. When the glandular system is deficient. Oh, you mean my thyroid? You mean I'm low thyroid? You mean I should take a thyroid complex or something to bring up my thyroid? Because my doctor found that my thyroid was a little low, and if I just go there to fix my thyroid, that 60 pounds of weight that I couldn't lose is going to disappear. Yeah, that's true. About 1 in 100 times it's true. That is a very myopic perception of what I mean by glandular imbalance. Metabolic disorganization. In English, which we try to use, it means nothing works and there's another problem. It means that your body is exhausted. And as long as it's exhausted, your glands will swell. The thyroid, you might not see it swelling. The adrenal glands will swell. The ovaries, the glandular system will inflame because it's being overworked, harshly overworked by the stresses you've put on it, and it's starting to fail you. So your metabolism will deplete. So what do? You understand what I'm saying. Because the consequence of understanding what I'm saying is to relax behind your fat. You shouldn't be thinking about losing weight and fitting into the bikini. You should be thinking about getting healthy. Don't come to me and ask at the top of your list to focus on weight loss in that you're about to spend some money to give and take counsel in regard to weight loss because you've tried everything else and expect to be told in honesty, in authenticity, yes, we've got the plan for you and watch the weight disappear. It's the reverse of that. The plan for you, if you're like this, the plan for you is simply get your body healthy, forget the weight loss, and eventually your body will take off the weight. So number one, one of the consequences of too much stress to all the glands of the body is the glands swell, the metabolism depletes. So you go into storage mode, and storage mode means you grow fat. In the fat, you have hormone. There's number one. Number two, if the body is exposed to enough toxins that it can't remove fast enough, what eventually is going to happen? If the body is exposed to enough toxins, what will eventually happen is that the body will use the fat as a storage site for the toxin. The body will grow fat. It will use the fat everywhere and grow more of it to store the poison, because if it doesn't grow fat to store poison, the poison will go to your bone marrow. It'll go to your brain. So fat, for a lot of people, is a toxic storage site, and it represents the safety net, the reserve buffer zone body, so you don't get deathly ill. Then you wake up one day and go, you know what? I'm going to do it now. Back to the track. Start counting the calories, all these things that I'm going to do that everybody told me are going to work, and they don't work. And this goes on 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. And what you're left with is the same amount of fat you started with. Is that you? Lots of people are like this. People that work in hair salons. You wouldn't think that. But a hair salon is one of the most toxic dump sites we've concocted in American culture. And then there's people that work obviously at toxic dump sites. Anybody in construction, anybody in carpentry, anybody in plumbing, anybody in any of those mechanical fields. You wouldn't think that driving a car today, as slick as we make these gizmos, would be a threat to your health. If you get on the freeways and measure the radiation on the freeway, if you get on the freeways and you measure what the air quality is like, and you're driving 6-8 hours a day, that in and itself is going to put more garbage in your bone marrow and brain and fat than you ever want to know. And what you'll see from doing that is depletion of the glandular system, because it's an horrid chemical stress. And then what you'll see is the buildup of fat on the body, because the fat's storing the poison. So if you have this kind of problem, and you might fall into that category, you may need a little bit more supervision. That's the kind of thing where you see your holistic healthcare practitioner and you pray they have a fundamental and holistic concept. But really what that's about is getting healthy in every way you know how to get healthy. So if you're sitting there going, what do I do for this problem? All right, you're missing the point. You get healthy. What does it mean to get healthy? Well, I'll give you a hint. It means, okay, listen to the 84 shows, read 20 books on health, go to 3 different holistic practitioners, learn from everybody, and over a month, 6 months, a year, accumulate enough knowledge. But you got to find a little bit of time. Time you have if it's well spent time. Money you can find if it's well invested money. What more people have a problem with is they don't trust the advice they're given because they see so many conflicting views. I had to evolve to an appreciation of this by looking at myself and my clients, because, you know, people before they spend money would rather stay sick than be lied to. People before they spend money would rather stay sick than be lied to. This is an interesting thing you see play out. And I got to tell you, I'm going to introduce this now because I've been meaning to. I wanted to do a show on it, but I don't think I am. Get on Google or YouTube. Do a search on Steve Jobs. Yes, the famous Steve Jobs 60-minute special on his dying regret. So it's Steve Jobs, Regret, 60 Minutes. Go in and take a look at that. Get that on a Google search. I didn't know this. Did you? Steve Jobs had pancreatic cancer. That we know. And we lost him. A man that affected everyone to this day. That inspired us. I mean, study the life of Steve Jobs. Make sure your kids do. See Steve Jobs, the 60-minute documentary they did on him. I can't remember the name of it. But if you don't have time to do the documentary, just Google up Steve Jobs, 60-minute special, Dying Regret. His pancreatic tumor was not like Patrick Swayze. His pancreatic tumor was extremely curable. His pancreatic tumor was the kind, if you catch it early, you have almost a 100% cure rate. But what Steve Jobs did for 9 months from the diagnosis is do alternative medicine. 9 months from the diagnosis that Steve Jobs got for pancreatic cancer, 9 months after that, he invested in holistic medicine. He was into that stuff. Of course he was. He was a visionary, and he saw the future. He invested in holistic medicine. And when finally it didn't work, because it wasn't going to work, because it was the typical holistic nonsense, when they went in, because he knew he needed the medical doctors now, the tumor had metastasized into other tissue. And once that type of tumor metastasizes, you're gone. You're going to have a terrible time. I didn't know that. You probably didn't know that. 60 Minutes did a special on it. It's an interview with the commentator asking a friend of Steve Jobs, a coworker, why did such a smart man do such a stupid thing? And they give answers, et cetera, et cetera. But it comes down to my point. And my point is that you have to have education to know how to spend your money. And when you make that mistake and you trust people that are supposedly there to help you, that are just giving you the upsell and experimenting with your life, you end up having a dying regret. check that out. That just blew my mind, but it's very consistent with the point. If you want to use holistic medicine, you have to get the education. So, concept. If you're locked into some sort of metabolic syndrome where you can't lose weight, you're stuffing your poisons into your fat. Now I can say, this is what you're seeing when you lose your gallbladder. When you lose your gallbladder, the body, as you know, doesn't have an excretion route. It doesn't have an excretory route to take the poison out, so it stuffs it into your fat. So then you wake up one day and you want to lose your fat. And your brain says, you can do that, but if I dissolve the fat, we release the poison. If the poison doesn't have a way out of your body, you're going to die. You're going to get sick, so I'm not going to let you lose the fat. This is the problem if you've lost your gallbladder. This is the problem if your gallbladder is congested. And, of course, the solution is biliary patency. Sleep. When you don't sleep, you don't make enough cortisol. When you don't make enough cortisol, you can't regulate your blood sugar, and you're going to crave carbs. When you don't sleep, you don't make the anti-stress hormones. When you don't sleep, you can't handle stress. Your cortisol, before it goes low, may go high. When your cortisol is high, you're going to have a horrible time with insulin. When your cortisol is high, stress makes the body insulin sick. You can't effectively use insulin under stress. Who's not under stress? You see? Stress by itself will keep you fat. Sleep makes stress worse. So there's life stress, there's radiation stress, there's stress from lack of sleep, the adrenals take the beating, the cortisol is high or low. Either way, you're going to have problems dropping weight. So what do? You shift your perspective. You can't, if you're in the metabolic place with your weight loss, if you're out there confused about weight loss, you don't have to become a doctor to understand that really you have to forget the concept of weight loss and get into the concept of getting healthy. If you get that one out of this show today, pat yourself on the back because you've got everything. Then it's just about contouring your health concern a little bit more specific to you. And that's what education is. We're not going to get around this. Give it 3 to 4 months. Do not stay locked into a mentality that you had when you were 20. I see people do this all the time. If you're going to go off carbs, you have to do it gradually. Don't go cold turkey. Cold turkey is a bad way to go unless you're 20 years old or very, very strong. Now, specifically, one of the things about going off carbs is that the liver has to make enzymes to compensate you for your blood sugar. The liver has to make enzymes that will allow your body to take its fat and protein, break it down, and spit it back into your blood as sugar. That can take weeks up to months. So when you go cold turkey on carbs, you're going to collapse at work the next day. When you go cold turkey on carbs, you're not going to get your exercise. In fact, if I had to get extreme, I'd say if on January 6th or 7th or 3rd or whenever you start this routine, I'd say get up in the morning and stuff your face with carbs. Don't change a thing. If you're really over the top with carbs, cut down 30% tops. Don't make it hurt. Then get to the track. Get to the gym. And exercise as much as you can to reason. I'd cut down on carbs gradually. The time I'd really try to mellow out on the carb is lunch. If you're really in the pits with this whole carb thing and you understand the purpose and reason to get off them and you know you have to, but you're really buried over the holiday or whatever is going on in your life, really try to work it correctly during the day. So eat your little carb at night, eat your little carb in the morning, and then at lunch, really from, say, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., really try to stay off the carb. Do that. That's a step. It's not going to get you to critical mass, but that's a step. and it allows your liver to start remembering what it's like to make the enzymes to burn the fat and the animal protein, so that eventually then the morning and evening carboholic moment you can start to cut down on, and then eventually you can cut it out for dinner. And then eventually you can minimize it for breakfast in the morning and then get to the track or wherever you're going to go. Again, some of you are not going to get around exercise. This is the thing. You tell people to exercise and they look at you like, are you crazy? Do you know what my life is like? Guys, we got to get a consensus on this. I'm the first one to say I understand, but the bottom line is you got to make the time. If you can get to the exercise thing 4 days a week, you can cut it. That's the number, 4 days a week. If you can really bone up for two on the weekend and two during the week, that might cut it. Really think about it every other day. A heavier one every other day, and something you can do in the office or at lunch hour on the in-between days. Something like that. Don't want to get into it. There's lots of people that would comment on that. Next. Other forms of stress that you don't think about that may be keeping you in the pits. And one of them is physical injuries that have created scarring. This is something you hear Dr. Bob Marshall talk a lot about, and he's so correct on this. You can't have a glandular system that keeps the metabolism when there are physical scars from physical traumas. If you've had enough accidents, enough head trauma, enough chronic infection, collectively speaking, you've created enough physical blockage from physical adhesion in the body to depress the electrical circuit. And if the electrical circuit is depressed, the endocrine circuit will be depressed. Neuroendocrine. Think of that. The neuroendocrine center. The neuroendocrine center. The nerve centers and the glandular centers. And the nerve centers, brain, spinal cord, chakras, peripheral nerves, ganglia in the body, they're all wrapped in fascia. When scars twist them, it depresses the magnetic field and the gland becomes depressed. That's big. Fascinating. Isn't the complexity of the human body absolutely fascinating? That someone could hit 50 and find that it's just difficult to lose weight, that a female can have two cesareans or two heavy tears down in the perineum and find at 50 years old she can't lose weight anymore, and that the solution is remediate the scars. Start with the clays, get to the body work, the touch therapies, the stretch therapies, the physical therapies, until what? You start to feel the electrical system stabilize. You start to feel that warm flow through your body. That's huge. And so apparently disconnected from a weight loss concern. And yet, what's the truth? Boy, I have a dream, and that dream would be to get the American public to understand what I just said. It's tough sometimes. Listen to what I just said, and listen to what I'm so proud that many of you are at least starting to understand. That your weight loss concerns at 50 years old might possibly be related to physical scarring, cesareans, episiotomies, the neck and head traumas you had, the torn cartilage, the torn shoulder, the surgeries, the time you rolled your truck down the hill when you were a teenager, so on and so forth, and your body was just never the same. To understand that there's a connection between that, your fascial system, your nervous system, your glandular system, and what it takes to bring your metabolism to the point where you start to feel circulation through the body again, and then you say, my God, I feel like I'm starting to burn fat. Now I know what he's talking about. Now think of your typical American looking for that diet book, looking for that pharmaceutical drug that helps burn fat, looking for that fantasy about that herb that's going to help you compensate for your head traumas and your episiotomies. Think of where the pulse of America is, and then pat yourself on the back for 2013, because you're on a different level. Bravo. Okay. That's the show. I think that's all I have to say, except that for 2013, I will make you a commitment and a promise to get out a ton of videos that we're going to add to the subscription service that'll come with it. I gave you guys a Christmas special and cut the subscription price 50% off. And I think a lot of you responded wonderfully. You must have been waiting for me to do that. Bravo. We will be building out the Medici Library. That's not a priority over the videos. The school, we'll be starting a third school. We've got two very strong schools. We're starting a third one. We're going to be expanding that whole concept. It's only 6 weeks. Every 6 weeks, you come to the class. Sign up on the website. All right, don't call the center. It's a little tougher for us to coordinate it. Sign up on the website, please, for the school for $20 a week. Okay, $20 a week. You spend a whole year. I think I should start putting commentaries from the other students on there. It really is a cost-effective, time-effective way to take control of your health. 2013, God bless you. It's been a pleasure. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health. We'll see you next week. Ciao.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.